Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI on this Friday, July 27th, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a good weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We're live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're streaming the show right now at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and we post the program to three different websites. My website, buckmastershow.com. TucsonSentinel.com has our program available for you, as does TucsonCitizen.com. Our Friday Focus interview today, Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator. Joining me to question Mr. Huckleberry, Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. If you have a question or comment for Mr. Huckleberry, call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Dan, good to see you.
Good afternoon.
And Mr. Huckleberry, Chuck, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
Let's begin with road repairs. That's on everybody's mind, and of course the monsoons aren't helping us any. We need the rain, but when the road patching comes along, it really does play havoc with it, doesn't it? Are we at the point, Chuck, where we really can't do much more patching?
Patching is almost a continuous thing. You do it about 365 days a year, given the state of our streets. But it gets a little more precarious when the weather doesn't cooperate and we get daily rain, like you've said. But I think, we've moved from patching as a strategy, and which we do for emergency purposes only, to now more of a permanent repair. We just finished $5 million of road resurfacing and repairs, and we're started now on our second $5 million worth of work. We'll continue that probably in the spring of 2013 with another $5 million. So we're continuing to make progress. We still got a long way to go, but it's better than what it was.
And you know roads. That's kind of the way you started in this business, right?
I started as a transportation director 25 plus years ago. So, yes, we know roads.
One quick question about the roads. If we didn't have the RTA program, the situation would be a lot worse, wouldn't it?
Yes. If we didn't have the RTA, we'd be diverting. And typically what happens is you divert maintenance money for capital improvements, which is your higher priority. And the RTA has come along at the right time, and they're providing those capital expansion improvements, really freeing up some money that is badly needed to reinvest in the pavement condition mostly of our highways. We need to probably repave and resurface most of them today, and that's a monumental task, and we're beginning to catch up, and I think we'll do better. We finally have some recognition from the legislature that stealing our money has consequences, and they're starting not to do that, and hopefully they'll repay it, and we can put it back in the road system where it belongs.
Here's Dan Scheer.
There's some people down in Green Valley who just don't even want to wait for the county, and we've seen several groups get together and just repair their own roads. Have you seen much of that around the county outside of Green Valley?
Outside of Green Valley, no. And I think what we're seeing in Green Valley is just the simple frustration, and I think we understand their frustration of not getting any action and any particular relief. We respect that. We actually appreciate the people in Green Valley for doing that. It shows a great deal of community pride, and that helps.
Well, and it is interesting that street repair and maintenance is a huge issue down there, and maybe it's because people just don't have anything else to bellyache about, and they're at home a lot more than people up here in the Tucson area. But it is a big issue down there, and we feel like the attention comes to us only during an election year. And so we've seen a lot of action, and we were talking off the air, and we're going to see a little bit more down there. We're going to see some repairs long overdue. We know there are other places, though, that are hurting worse than us.
Correct, Dan. And one of the things that, we hope people don't view it as simply an election issue. We're going to invest some more money in making more improvements on Abrego Drive, something that's vitally needed down there. Unfortunately, what happens is we have an election every 4 years. So if you're ever in these cycles, Very often it appears that that's a problem. We haven't done much since the beginning of the Great Recession about 5 years ago, so it's kind of a natural catch-up, and this year it happens to fall on an election year.
Talk a little bit about mining based on Pima County's opposition to the proposed Rosemont mine. There is a perception that mining is not welcome in Pima County.
Well, I think that is, and I think it's a perception that basically is started by others and certainly not Pima County's policy position. We support mining. Mining is a very important component of our economy. The board just demonstrated their support recently by approving the Oracle Ridge mine that will employ 240 miners. And Oracle Ridge did everything right. They basically came to us, talked to us, agreed to mitigation, agreed to environmental standards that really were beyond normal. And so I think we enjoyed supporting them. Historically, we've supported Freeport-McMoRan in their efforts to relocate the tailing facilities in Green Valley and clean up the sulfate plume. We supported the expansion of the Caterpillar test facilities south of Green Valley. So I think we've got a pretty good track record of supporting a mining activity that comes in and wants to disclose and work with the community with regard to, you know, necessary and needed mitigation.
240 jobs, perhaps, with the Oracle Ridge mine.
Yes, and the Oracle Ridge miners will actually be paid more than the Rosemont proposed miners because these miners are going to be operating underground and they inherently get higher wages.
As far as Rosemont saying now, some of the studies indicate there may be 30% more ore available at that particular site. Will that, or do you feel it should necessitate maybe a relook at some of the permit process?
Well, we haven't heard much other than the headline. It talked about 30% more reserves, but it does raise a very serious question, and that is that additional reserve, does that expand the mining footprint? Does that deepen the pit? Does that do some things that, you know, require more water? What to do to air quality? So all of the conditions upon which the draft environmental impact statement have been made may require modification. And that's fine if it does, but it just needs, we need to know what we're actually going to get with Rosemont.
Well, Oracle at some point became acceptable to you. What's it going to take, in a nutshell, for Rosemont to be acceptable?
Well, one of the things that, that Oracle basically has done is they've agreed to a mitigation that is, you know, more than normal. Oracle Ridge is an older mine, and part of that mine has already had tailings placed on the ground, and those tailings have led to possibly some higher sulfate levels in groundwater. And what Oracle Ridge had said is we will remove all of those tailings and we will line the tailing disposal facility, put in state-of-the-art environmental protection and remediation activities, all at our expense as we expand our own tailings. They've also said we will, in fact, agree to the mitigation requirements of the county. The tailings are going to expand into natural lands that are in the conservation land system. There's some mitigation requirements in the county's codes with regard to land development. And Oracle Ridge Mine said they would voluntarily agree to meet those mitigation requirements. So therefore, they're going to purchase probably about 900 acres of equivalent open space in the same basin with the same or higher environmental biological standards. And so those are the kind of real mitigation things that we're talking about. They've agreed to completely, without equivocation, meet our dark skies ordinance. So those are the kind of things we'd like to see out of Rosemont.
But beyond mitigation, Rosemont is in the middle of a gorgeous area. It's a popular area. There are people who live not too far away, at least a few. On some level, it doesn't matter what Rosemont does. There's some people just are simply not going to accept them. Would that describe you?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, again, what has happened is when Rosemont first came to Pima County, we gave them a list of things that we'd like to see, and they frankly haven't met any of them at this point in time. So if they want to meet those terms and conditions, we'd be happy to talk to them. But I agree with you. It's a very sensitive issue. It's an area of mining in a pristine location. And so there are going to be people who will never accept a mine at that location. But it's not their decision. It's frankly not Pima County's decision. It's a federal decision.
Do you think Rosemont has been above board with you?
Well, you know, they could be better. You know, they're doing, I assume, their best to meet what they believe are the standard requirements of the federal government. You know, we, yes, probably would ask questions and require more detail and more answers. And to some of the questions and information that we've asked, we've not seen anything. But on the other hand, they don't need to answer our questions. They need to answer the federal agency's questions.
What's your understanding of the timetable on where we are with that particular mining?
Well, we get mixed signals. You know, we hear that the Forest Service is, you know, ready to issue a draft environmental impact statement in December and make a decision sometime in 13. We haven't seen a lot of the supporting information or any of the issues that we've raised, or more importantly, Environmental Protection Agency has raised with regard to the draft environmental impact statement. I think those questions have to be answered long before there's any proposed record of decision with regard to the Forest Service. I can't see how they can make a December deadline, but that's just me. I don't have any information regarding how much they've done or how much they've resolved with regard to the Forest Service, but it seems like a very aggressive schedule.
Coming up now on 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show, Chuck Huckleberry is with us, Pima County Administrator. It's Friday Focus. If you would like to ask Mr. Huckleberry a question or make a comment, 790-2040, 790-2040. We will be back with our Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and 5th Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastropub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show Friday Focus with Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. Mr. Huckleberry, you ought to slip your headset on here to hear Tom, who has a question about Rosemount. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks very much for taking my call. Mr. Huckleberry, I'm trying to take this through a rational, you know, a thought process in my own mind. You had just said that that Pima County really has no say in the matter, that this is an issue between Rosemont and the federal government, and then yet you presented Rosemont with a list of things that you wanted to see done. I'm trying to figure out, from a rational point of view, what obligation Rosemont has to Pima County other than being a good neighbor. If they don't need to do something, then really certainly they have no obligation to do it. So help me understand that.
Sure,
okay,
Tom,
thanks.
And I think you're correct. The county has no direct approval authority over the mine, when Rosemont first approached the county, what I think they're looking for is just simply the county's not approval, but just, basically say, yeah, we believe you would be a good neighbor and we'll support your activities. So the letter and the conditions were basically something that said, if you want Pima County support, here's what you need to do, but fully recognizing that the actual approval authority vests with the federal government.
Okay, Tom, thanks for that question. Dan, before we go back to the live line, quick question.
I wanted to throw in something there for Tom, the caller. We've seen a little bit of that down in Saurita and Green Valley, where Rosemont has bent over backward on some points in certain areas where they didn't need to, as far as maybe people who have well water or things like that. So they have really tried to, as you put it, be a good neighbor, and I think that's very important. And it's not, I don't think they're trying to buy off people. I simply believe that what they're saying is that we intend to be a part of this community if the mine is approved. And they have, up to this point, as far as I'm concerned, demonstrated that that they will do that.
And Mr. Huckleberry, any response to that?
Oh, I think that's right. I think in certain cases they have. A lot of our issues deals with harm to the natural environment and, basically getting mitigation to offset that, as well as, mining standards that would tend to lessen the impacts on the natural environment, such as pit backfilling and the like.
Chuck Huckleberry is with us on Friday Focus. Rose, are we ready now with Jose is up next on the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jose. Jose, you're up next. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. Jose Rivera here. Nice to speak with you folks. My question is dealing with the Pima County Development Services. 6 years ago, we purchased a house in Pima County, and our first time purchase of a house, as did about 14 other people. And at that time, we were told that we had an easement for El Paso Natural Gas. It was a 60-foot easement. Then as time developed, we found out that it wasn't a 60-foot easement, but 120-foot easement, And on top of that, El Paso Natural Gas claims an extra 17 feet of space that they claim as their own, and for a total of 137 feet. So basically, in my case, my acre and a half property is a zero lot. We reached out to Pima County several times, and we were basically told, you're on your own.
Okay, thanks, Jose. Let's hear from Chuck Huckleberry.
Well, Jose, it sounds like a prior easement issue with El Paso Natural Gas. They've been here, you know, probably in that location for 50 to 60 years. It's something that probably should have shown up on your title report and indicated that the easement was there, and probably the subdivision plat as well. That would have indicated the actual width. And usually those folks don't make a lot of mistakes. And so it depends upon, you know, what you were told versus what your actual contract documents show with regard to the sale of your property.
Chuck Huckleberry with us. Marana and Pima County have been in litigation over the ownership of the sewer treatment plant in Marana for years. What's the latest on it in a nutshell?
Well, the Court of Appeals just recently ruled that Pima County basically won all of the points again that it had won previously in the Superior Court, and that Marana needed to have an election to authorize them to operate a sewer treatment plant. Marana then scheduled an election for November of this year and then now recently rescinded it. The county is in court challenging the constitutionality of the law that allows Marana to take the plant at less than full market value. That litigation should probably conclude in September or October of this year. And so it just continues on, and no real progress being made at trying to resolve the issues, even though the county offered Marana 90% of the effluent at no cost for free. And so we still continue this litigation.
Here's Dan Scheer.
Green Valley, I'm going to take you down there again. We're looking at getting possibly our very first public park, and I know a man named Chuck Catino has been on your doorstep many times, as he is on mine, trying to drum up support for this.
And we've had him here on the program.
We sure have. He's a great guy. A little broader question, though. What chance does a non-revenue generating project like that have to get in on the next bond election?
I think actually very, very good, because as you say, very often, public support of a bond issue has to be grassroots, and Chuck Catino certainly is a grassroots organizer in Green Valley, and he's on my doorstep probably as often as he is on yours, and he's got a good point, and he's got a good program, and so I think he's going to receive support from the Bond Advisory Committee to make that park fully functional. In addition to that, we've always known as the communities grow, we have more park conflicts. And in this particular case, we now have a conflict arising with the school district over the facility we turned over to them. That's, you know, not desirable. And so I think we're going to go the extra mile and try and resolve that by getting some money out there to get at least two ball fields functional in that new park so that the Baja sports folks can use that. And at the same time, then the Sarita Unified School District from, I think, Walden High School can use the existing facilities in Sarita Park.
And so what you're talking about is matching funds that you're going to go to bat for us on.
Yes, I've actually put it on the agenda for August the 7th and asked the board to dig into their ending fund balance and put up $250,000. And hope that the balance of the community or the school district can come up with a match and then proceed immediately to construct those two softball fields so that the Sarita School District and Walden High School students can use the facilities in the Sarita Park sooner rather than later.
And is this technically a public-private partnership at this point?
Yes, it always has been. And we really encourage those because when the community's got a little skin in the game, they tend to take care of those facilities a lot better than if it's just paid for 100% by the county.
What's the latest on the 26-mile loop, the recreation facility here in Pima County?
Well, we keep adding mileage to it. We're basically getting ready to connect the Santa Cruz to the Julian, and then I would assume by about this time next year or even later this calendar year, we will have connected the Julian all the way over to the Science and Tech Park. So we would be about 75% done with the loop. We just basically have had contractors out this last week looking at extending the Rito River Park at Craycroft underneath the south side and continuing on. So progress is being made, and I think you should remember this community was named a number one community for cycling by Outdoor Magazine.
That's right. Chuck Huckleberry, thank you very much for being with us. And I think that 26-mile loop is a good deal, and a lot of people are excited about it. And so I think it's to be the board and county is to be commended on moving forward with that.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Chuck Huckleberry with us on Friday Focus. Dan Shear will stick around, and we'll be joined with Mark Evans coming in. There's Mark for our Friday Reporters Roundtable as we continue on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. He wore a T-shirt reading, "Guns don't kill people, I do." Authorities in Maryland say that's what the man was wearing when he was first talking to officers, showed up at his house to arrest him for allegedly threatening to shoot up the business from which he was about to be fired. Police say they found a lot of weapons and ammunition in the man's house. For a second day, stocks are surging on optimism generated by promises from European leaders, say they'll do whatever they have to preserve the euro. Bells have been ringing across the UK today, marking the official opening day of the London Olympics. A ceremony in London to open the games will be getting underway shortly. On Wall Street, stocks are higher, the Dow up 216 points. It's above 13,000. More details at srnnews.com.
The following.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This three-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. Two juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a Neo Mimbreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. We had Friday Focus, and now we're into our Reporters Roundtable segment at 12:34 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. Joining me on the Friday Roundtable this week, Mark Evans. Mark is the administrator for TucsonCitizen.com, and Dan Scheer is the editor of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun. If you have a comment or question during our Reporters Roundtable, we'd love to work you in. The Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. The Reporters Roundtable on Buckmaster presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com, and we welcome now Mark to the show. Mark, how are you?
Doing good. We say, BB.
I want to begin with the Rio Nuevo story. A lot was made that the board, the newly reconstituted board, was moving in the direction of purchasing the Manning House in downtown Tucson. Now it looks like the board has decided, well, let's back away. Why?
Well, one, there was some question as to whether the Manning House was in the district and they were able to spend money there. There was also a question as to whether they are still belabored with the legislation from 2009, I think it was, that restricts what they can do with the money, that they have to focus on renovating the TCC and building a connecting hotel first before they do anything else. They got some letter from the general counsel for the legislature who said, well, all you really needed to do was give the city the go-ahead, and once you've done that, you've met the requirement, so you can start spending money other places. There's a lot of different opinions, legal opinions, about whether that's good advice or not. So once the Manning House was revealed that it was facing foreclosure and was closing shop and was up for sale, they decided to step in and put up $20,000 to stave off the foreclosure proceedings while they looked into what could be done with the Manning House, and that created a little bit of controversy and whether they should even be doing that. So they backed away from that yesterday, claiming some sort of Pyrrhic victory by saying, well, you know, even though we're not going to go through with this, we directed a lot of attention to it, and some unnamed developers have come forward and might do something with it. You know, the thing for me is the danger that this new board with these changes, these new people on it now with Fletcher McCusker as the chairman, is that we're going back to the bad old days of these one-off. Somebody comes up with a good idea. Oh, here's a pot of money. Let's throw some money at it, rather than some sort of strategic vision. I think what they really need to do is figure out what Rio Nuevo is all about for the next 15 years, what their goal is, and work towards achieving that, rather than every time someone comes up with an idea and they see if they got some money laying around to spend it. I mean, even Karen Ulick said in The Star that, oh, boy, if we knew we could have this money, we could have spent that on the repairing the Marist College. Well, what's the strategic vision there? I mean, that's how it got us in trouble in the first place. So I'm glad to see they backed away.
Mark Evans with us from TucsonCitizen.com and Dan Scheer of Green Valley, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan, what do you think about Secretary of State Ken Bennett now appealing the tax initiative ruling? Meanwhile, backers have gone to court over the ballot language here of this thing.
I think he's trying to make a statement, and I don't know that he's really overly interested in the issue anymore, and I think he's running for his next office already. At this point, leave it alone. Leave it alone and just let it move forward. So
300,000 people signed.
That's exactly right. And he tried to tell them all no.
I mean, right. I mean, you got 300,000 people that said, boy, we really want to vote on this. And it's not like they were fooled. It's not like the language that was attached to the petitions that they were signing had the wrong language on it. It had the correct language. It had the intent of the group that's trying to get the 1 cent sales tax reapproved. It just so happened that they filed two documents with the Secretary of State. One was on paper and one was electronic. The electronic version had the correct version, their real intent on there, and the paper one was wrong. It had some words missing. And what Ken is saying is that because the state law says that the official copy is the paper copy, and because the paper copy was wrong, there's some sort of voter confusion, and therefore it has to be kept off the ballot. And that denies, you know, almost 10% of the state's registered voters who signed this thing from getting their day on the ballot, you know, and being able to have a say on this. And I just think from a moral point of view, it's just wrong for him to be trying this little ministerial effort to get it off the ballot for some minor mistake, when voter intent really is what they should be taking into consideration.
And we had a situation like that with our annexation of our fire district last year in Green Valley and Sarita. And that was the question, was were the people who signed this petition confused in any way? And the answer was no. Yet the Board of Supervisors, I believe, thwarted the will of the people based on a technicality. And that was too bad, because it had a 30-year history of allowing such small infractions, if we can call them that, to go through and not calling them on it. But on this one, they did, and more than half the people who signed these petitions were told, sorry, we don't care what you think.
And on the other issue, which you also brought up, which is Arizona's for Growth or Education or whatever the name of the group is, that's headed up by Annie Peterson, they're now also suing the Legislative Council, which writes the ballot language, because they snuck in some insidious wording that casts the ballot and the initiative in bad light, saying that it's a tax increase. It's only a tax increase technically. You know, if it passes, the tax is going to be 6.6% on May 31st. And then on June 1st, when the new initiative goes into effect, it'll still be 6.6%.
It's almost like a tax extension, right?
Correct, yeah. To call it a tax increase, I think, is misleading.
And then the other people did see that on the ballot.
Right,
what do you think is going to happen? If you see tax increase, are you going to vote necessarily for it? No.
And then the other thing, the other language that was on there was they were trying to say that it doesn't define who a resident is, and to make it appear that an illegal immigrant could benefit from this money, when they didn't put that definition in there because state laws already defines who a resident is and who can get state benefits, so it wasn't necessary. So they're trying to get – they filed suit, and they're trying to get a judge to change that language before the ballots get printed.
So that one, of course, is in the court still, and then now the open primary. They're really the two issues that are getting all the attention, the tax initiative and then this open primaries. Now the opponents are asking the court to toss out the open primary initiative, Dan Scheer.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I don't know why I'm so fascinated by this issue, but I really am, because the open primaries to me, and I've talked to Ted Downing over at U of A, who's one of the people pushing this, it really, I believe, it forces the candidates to deal with the issues and not fall back so much on the party to get elected. Now, there are a lot of downsides to this. There's no doubt about it. But I love anything that forces people to get outside of the comfort zone of their parties and forces them to talk about the issues. I also believe that most people are being alienated by the major parties anymore. We can see that particularly in Arizona with the growth of the independent voter. So there's something afoot here. And as you look at the other states, California, of course, they're going through their first election with this, and Washington State has gone through it a couple of times. Again, there's good and there's bad. But I think the model in all this, where I would like to be, is where Nebraska is, you know, unicameral, nonpartisan legislature. They caucus based on geography. They focus on the issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in terms of the lawsuit, what there's being asserted is that Because there's changes to 70-some different statutes in order for this to go into effect, to have an open primary system, they're making the argument that the constitutional prohibition against having a ballot initiative deal with more than one subject is being violated. But the argument from the initiative's proponents is it's only dealing with one subject, reforming the primary system, and that there's state case law that says as long as there's just one, the goal is just one item, and you have to change a whole lot of things to get there, it's really complex, that's okay. So, you know, so if they were trying to change the primary system and change, say, term limits, that's two different issues, and therefore that would be unconstitutional. But they're only trying to change one thing, which is the primary system. So I think that they'll succeed on this. This is really a kind of a Hail Mary pass to get this thing tossed out. My feelings are about I need to sit and stare at the wall and think a little bit more about it. I'm kind of torn about it. Any issue that tries to get more independents involved in the primary process, because they've been pretty much shut out the way we conduct our primaries, and the fact that they represent almost a third of all voters now, I think is a good thing. But every time we've tried to change our election system, the law of unintended consequences has bit us in the tuchus. And so
you're talking about clean elections?
Clean elections, term limits, the initial attempt to have open primaries, there was all kinds of things that caused problems with that. So, you know, where are the dark demons off in the distance here that are going to come up and rise up if we pass this? I don't know. So I need to sit and think about that and think of on balance which is better.
You know, I read a study on open primaries. I'm going to read you one sentence out of it. And this did scare me, I'm going to tell you that. Two candidates whose party has 41% of popular support would defeat three candidates whose party had 59% of popular vote if the votes are split evenly. So you could have the dominant party actually losing, depending on how many candidates are in the race. Now, of course, they're not supposed to have that party affiliation. Of course, they can put that on the ballot if they want, but that's just purely for informational reasons. But yes, you could have the will of the people in a sense thwarted some way in this. But I tell you, I think it's time to introduce these types of things when a system is broken. I don't think we have a broken system, but I think we're close, and I think people are getting increasingly disinterested.
That's Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News, and Mark Evans is here from TucsonCitizen.com. I think one of the big stories of the week didn't get a lot of publicity, but Arizona's budget looking really good. The surplus is three times larger than anticipated, Mark.
Right. They had predicted when they did the budget this year that they would have $122 million surplus, and it came in at about $379 million, which, you know, that's, hey, good for Arizona. You know, while the rest of the country is kind of stagnating, we're slowly starting to grow a little bit. The real estate markets are starting to come back in most of the counties. So that's a good thing. Now, what is the legislature going to do with the money? Well, the head of the Joint Legislative Budget Committee for the legislature, Richard Stavniak, said, sit on it. So in the latest budget, they put $450 million away. So here's another $380 million to be able to go on top of that. They have a few things they're looking for next year. One, if voters don't approve the 1 cent sales tax or it doesn't make it onto the ballot, you're going to lose that money. That's about $900 million. So there's your surplus plus your rainy day fund right there. And the tax cuts that the legislature has passed the last 2 years start going into effect. So, I you know, while it's great we're going to have a bunch more money, I don't think it's going to do anything to repair all the cuts that have gone on in the past 4 or 5 years, state parks, schools, anything like that.
Yeah, but reach back a few years. We had a $1 billion surplus, and lawmakers expanded all-day kindergarten. They poured money into other programs. And then when we hit this recession, all of that had to be cut. So at this point, I agree. Put it in the bank, and you're right. The 1 cent sales tax could be going away here in a year. And also, what about the federal government, which feeds into our state? What kind of shape are they in? So this may sound like a lot of money to a lot of people. And actually, back in December, the governor thought we were going to have $650 million in surplus. But this doesn't seem like a lot of money to me. I think we need to just squirrel it away.
Yeah, nearly $400 million can go really fast.
Oh, no kidding. Around here.
Yeah. And the autopsy report, Mark Evans, is in on the elephant Connie, and it answers some questions for folks who are saying, well, maybe the move over to San Diego aggravated Connie's aging condition or health issues.
Well,
she died of cancer.
She had cancer when she was here. She was going to die here. You know, did the stress on the move accelerate her ability to fight off the cancer? I think that's debatable. You know, moving her was what was best for her. It just didn't turn out that well because she was so ill. She didn't have the cancer. I think she'd be thriving and she'd be fine over there. But this is such a passionate issue. There's so many people that really don't want to see elephants in captivity, and there's no convincing them at all unless they're, you know, released to the wild or sent to some giant park in Arkansas where they can walk around, so, or Texas or wherever it is.
Connie was 45, and it was an aggressive form of cancer, according to the autopsy at the San Diego Zoo. Want to put a plug in for our friend John C. Scott? You're going to stick around and be on John's show at 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to hang out in the offices all day, but I might call in.
Mark Evans, thank you very much, from TucsonCitizen.com, and Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Thanks for being on the Friday Reporters Roundtable. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
You too, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics, created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Of course, that music signals the weekend on the Buckmaster Show, and the Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City and its vibrant arts community. Downtown Silver City hosting all sorts of galleries, gift shops, historic buildings, fine dining, quaint homes, and there's plenty of great accommodations in Silver City, including Bear Mountain Lodge. Find out more at southwestnewmexico.org. And of course, the Olympics getting ready to kick off tonight, and in honor of an Olympic weekend, Matt Russell wore the Olympic t-shirt to Matt Russell and Russell Public Communications this morning. It had the, what did it have, the Union Jack on your sleeveless t-shirt?
Actually, we've required all of our staff members to go down to the Tucson map and flag store to be fitted for an authentic American flag, which we could sort of drape around ourselves all weekend long.
What about those butterfly track shorts? Did you... I hope you didn't go that far.
Tis the season, Bill Buckmaster.
It is an Olympic weekend. Let's go international this weekend. Where do we start?
Yeah, we're thinking the Culinary Olympics this weekend. I suggest we're going to start in Thailand, Bill, and our favorite Thai food in Tucson is V Fine Thai Dining on Congress and Stone downtown. I'd start with a bowl of that great Tom Kha Gai soup with the chicken and the lemongrass and the fresh coconut milk, maybe a couple of Thai beers. And then I'm going to move on to dinner and have that shrimp pad say you, which is wonderfully large, succulent shrimp, a little broccoli, a little egg, extra spicy sauce if you ask for level 5 on the spice meter. That should keep you awake all evening. We love it spicy at V Fine Thai Dining.
Yeah, so we'll start with Thailand. Let's move on to one of my favorite places, being of Irish descent, Ireland. And how about a little pub action?
Absolutely. Our favorite place to go if you want a bit of Irish is the Old Dubliner Irish Pub on University in Euclid, of course, right near the U of A's main gate. We're going to start off with some salt and vinegar chips made with dried red vinegar powder and some premium sea salt, a couple of black and tans, Bill, to wash that down, and then are you ready for dinner? Guinness meatloaf. Irish meatloaf served over mashed potatoes with a homemade Guinness beer and blue cheese gravy with country bread done just the way you like it. We love the Irish at Old Dublin.
Yeah, I love that Irish soda bread. And, of course, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, loves their chips. Is it chips and curry? Is that the – that's one of their signature dishes, too,
over there.
Yeah,
you can get the chips done 3 or 4 different ways. The curry is just absolutely phenomenal. I challenge your listeners to find that on any other menu in town.
How about going Greek? I mean, in honor of the Olympics.
You got to go Greek. And where else but Greek Taverna on Camp Lowell and Swan, where George Marcou is the consummate host. I'd start with that fried Saganaki cheese deglazed with a little brandy and fire it up right at your table. And then dinner, we're going to go with the traditional moussaka, layered eggplant and potatoes topped with ground beef and baked in that wonderfully rich, creamy bechamel sauce. If you like authentic Greek food as I do, Bill, Greek Taverna really is the place to be.
There's probably some Greek wine to go along with that.
Absolutely. And he's got some locally sourced items that he actually grows out there at his farm in the gardens, and some wonderful Greek cheese that you can only find at Greek Taverna. I love George and his family and everything they do.
And could you give us that location again for that Greek restaurant?
Yeah, Greek Taverna, formerly known as Fat Greek 2, on right there on the corner of Camp Lowell and Swan.
When you think about it, though, in a more general context, we really do have incredible international dining, everything from Guatemalan food to food from Ethiopia. We've got it here, don't we, in Tucson?
Indeed. I mean, that's why I have always said that Tucson really is the culinary capital of the Southwest. And, you know, save your money on airfare. You can dine in any country around and not even have to leave the old Pueblo doing it.
Matt Russell, you have yourself a great weekend.
Go Team USA, Bill.
All right, thanks. And support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Check out their fine website. And bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan. Culligan offers the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. I've got a bottle of Culligan right in front of me. Always have it here for the Buckmaster Show. And what is it about Culligan? Well, folks, it simply tastes better. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of our little team, my producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. And we want to tell you about coming up Monday on the Buckmaster Show. We'll, of course, have the political face-off. On Monday, it will be Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. Should be a very interesting combination of commentators for the political face-off. Also, Mark Sykes from the Planetary Science Institute joins us. That's going to do it this week for Buckmaster. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.